Thank you for that. I just got a thrill walking by her keyboard because I saw your Keith Getty music book. Yes. So, I think probably my greatest fear this morning, just to keep in the theme, is that I will eat a bug while I'm up here. I'm not looking forward to that at all. I have to open my mouth, so it'll just be a risk, and I'll have to trust God that He'll protect me from those dreaded gnats. It is so good. I've been thinking about this week, about when I was here last, and I thought, what a difference 20 years makes. It's been 20 years since I've been here. I believe I was here the summer of 1997, so it's been exactly 20 years, and The Laura Lee that was here 20 years ago is a different Laura Lee that is here today in so many different ways. But it is so good to be with you this week. I came back from the field. It's been in the past month. Everything went very quickly for me in the past month. And I'm still, my head spinning. So when he does see me with my look, with my deer caught in the headlights look, often that's because I am focused. I'm so focused right now. And so sometimes I have to kind of catch myself and when people are around and not be so focused. But God is good, and he continues to show himself to me in that. But I do want to talk about, 20 years ago, I was a new missionary with WGM. I had spent 2 years teaching in the boarding school before I even became a missionary with WGM. And when I was here, I was going back for my first term as a WGM missionary. And I had just finished a master's in counseling to return to the field to work as a counselor among the students there at the school. And within months, they closed the school. And so I don't want to talk a lot about that, but I do want to say what was amazing to me was early on, as I was quite shocked right after I got back in 97 that happened, that God really did a work in me early on. And I heard a lot of people I worked with talking about that I was called to Southwest Indian School. And what's God doing? Or what are we doing? I was called to the school. And I kind of had to, when I heard them saying that and I was realizing I could start falling down that same path, I had to ask myself, what did God call me to? And who did God call me to? And he didn't call me just to go work at Southwest Indian School. He called me to go be a part of Native American lives. And they were in abundance out there. And I, when God showed me that, it was very easy to stay and be a part of the ministry through these years. In the past, I just wanted to share this past year. The past year, we have lost two veteran missionaries on our field. Last August, I don't know if Art and Nancy Butler have been here before. It's possible they have. I know that they've spent time in the South. Art died last August, and then we had Claire Lund, who had been our stalwart missionary on our field for years. He died this spring. But I was amazed. It was amazing at Art's funeral memorial, and Winnie was there. The place was packed, and I think that was standing room only. I mean, everybody in the back had to stand. And it was a beautiful memorial. And I think what made it beautiful were just you could see his legacy living out in that room. All the people that got up, all the Native people that Art had befriended and loved and invested in through the years that both Art and Nancy had. And just to hear their testimonies and to hear what he meant to them. It really spoke to me because it reminded me of duration, of going the distance. And that's something I've learned on the American Indian field is I have seen some missionaries come and go, and missionaries that have come later than I have in the past 20 years and have come and then it got difficult or they felt led somewhere else and they went somewhere else and they aren't with us anymore. And I've realized how important it is to endure, to hold on, to stay. And I think because of that, God really enriches relationships. And I know that through the years that God has done that for me. And I've been thinking, and I think this verse is on my prayer card, but I wanted to spend more time with this verse because I love it so much. In 1 Thessalonians 2:8, it says, "We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you have become dear to us." I was at Beulah Camp last month, and I was talking to the kids in their time sometime during the week. And one little girl, she was like 10, she asked me a question. And she said, "Where would you rather be? Would you rather be with your family or would you rather be in Arizona?" And I was like, that is an amazing question from a 10-year-old. And I told her that. I said, "This is a great question." And I tell people that I constantly live, and I may share this again tonight, but I constantly feel like I'm in a tug of war. My body feels like it's always being pulled in two directions. And when I come back east and I'm spending time with family, I feel the pull of family. I feel the pull of my aging parents. You know, I feel the pull of my nephews and nieces who like to see me more often than they do. And then when I get back to Arizona, you know, I feel the pull. You know, this spring I was driving to church with a friend of mine who, she's Apache, and she goes to church with me every week. And we were driving, the radio was probably on, and she just, all of a sudden out of the quiet, said, "I don't want you to leave." And so I was feeling the pull of leave. I didn't want to leave, really. I didn't want to leave Arizona. And so God always, but then I told her, I said, "But do you know where I live?" And I said, "Which one always wins then? Which is the winner in this scenario?" And she said, "Arizona." And I said, "Yes." I said, "Ultimately, I always go back there. No matter how long or how short my visit is with family, Arizona always pulls me back. It always wins that tug of war because that is where God called me. And there is fulfillment in being in the place where God calls you." And so the people out there have become dear to me. And it is about sharing God's love, but it's also sharing our lives. And any missionary would say that. Any person would say that. Anybody who serves Jesus would say that. It's not just about, it is about sharing the gospel and sharing the light, but it's about sharing our lives. And so that's what my life out there has become. It's become sharing of my life. And so I just, this morning I want to share, just take a few minutes just to give you an idea of what is going on the American Indian field. I'm going to talk briefly this morning about what God's doing through me, but I want to tell you kind of in a nutshell, for those that have been following the American Indian field through the years, what's going on? What are you guys doing out there? You know, those are the kind of questions I imagine to hear from some people. And so I do want to share that Southwest Indian School is now Southwest Indian Ministry Center. And we are still based in the same location in Peoria, Arizona, in northwestern Phoenix, where the school was. The facility is still there. And we serve not only, we have events there, and I'll talk about those, but also we serve, the community uses our facility some too. Whether it's Native groups or it's other groups like AA groups, different groups use our facility throughout the week. A church rents out our chapel for Sundays, and so it is utilized. But I want to share, though, especially right now, because it's a timely week to be sharing. As of last night, we started our third kids camp of the summer. We have kids come in on Sunday nights and are there through Thursday at noon. And we have two senior high, junior high, you know, middle school in June. And we have two younger kids camps in July. And so this week is our first camp, which is usually the older like the 4th through 6th, I think. And then next week will be 1st through 3rd. And so these are camps that we put on in the summer. We, like I said, we do 4 in the summer. And then during the year, every, I'd say, maybe 4 times during the year, we have weekenders with a lot of these kids. They come back for a weekend experience. But really what I want to share, and I think one thing about the ministry on the American Indian Field is we really are about building up leaders. No matter, it could be a pastor that we're working with in a church where we're encouraging them and helping them, but we're also trying and work, God's using the ministry to speak into the lives of young people. And so this summer, for instance, we have a group of Native kids that have grown up in our camps. A lot of the kids that come to the camps, they might come from the Phoenix area or they'll come from the reservations. A lot of them are alumni of the boarding school kids and grandkids that are coming to the camps. And then also partnering churches. I know I need to back up. Partnering churches on the reservations that send their kids to these camps. But we've had, these camps have been going on for almost, I would say, 18 years, 17 years. And so a lot of our younger campers that came first and second grade are now high school going into college. And so what we have done is we've started to speak into these lives, and they're called our leaders in training, our lights, we call them. And so they come and help out with the younger kids now. And we also give that. There's a couple opportunities throughout the year where they come and get some extra training. And I know one of these lights personally. I've known him since he came out of his mother's womb. And he is 16 now, and he towers over me, and he's still growing. And he comes to everything that he can possibly get to. When we have camps, he wants to work at the camps. I've heard him when he has shared prayer requests or about what God's doing for him. It'll have to do with the camps and getting to be a part of them. And it's like Christmas for him. He looks for, just like we love Christmas morning as kids. And we look forward to it. I was like that about camp meeting, too. When I go to a camp up north, Hollow Rock, and I remember it would be 2 or 3 weeks before camp started, and I was already making my list of what I wanted to take. It was like Christmas. So I kind of understand what's going on with Wes. And he can't wait. And so he's there at camp this week helping out. I know he's there and excited to be there. And this summer, Nancy Butler was working in the kitchen for a Native Nazarene conference, and she invited some of the lights to come help out for that camp, and Wes was one of them, and he was all excited because it was his first paying job, so he was very excited. So it's just exciting to see these young kids grow up, and especially Wes, who I've known my whole life, and so he's very excited, and I'm excited to see what God's doing in his life. And it's through him that he's kind of bringing his mom back in line. His mom has been going on her own path, dealing with alcohol and so forth, and it's Wes who's kind of steering her back, getting her back into church. And so it's amazing to watch. He's kind of right now being the grown-up. And so it's exciting to see Wes doing that for his mom and seeing her grow and seeing her come around. 'Cause I've known her since the last year the school was open, and that's how I met her family. And so this is one area on the ministry that we're doing there at SIMC. We also still have work out on the reservations. We have a couple missionaries down on the Tohono O'odham Reservation, down near the Mexican border. It hugs the Mexican border. So there are some TO people that live on the south side of the border, and family members live on the families are split up on the international border. And so the TO res is right there on the border. And we have a small day school down there, Living Word Academy, and so we do have a little school. I don't even know if there are 30 students there right now. And then we also have some missionaries that have been working with the tribe as nurses, and one that's been working for a behavioral adult program with behavioral issues. And so we've had some people working for the tribe down there. And then up north, we also have work on the Navajo Reservation. We have a couple and a single young woman who's there living in the Kirtland-Farmington area. Kirtland's between Farmington and Shiprock. It's in the Four Corners. And one of the ministries up there is a neighborhood house. And they have an after-school program. And so a lot of the kids in the neighborhood where the house is that WGM owns, they come there after school and have a time of devotion, Bible study. They may need help with their schoolwork, just different ways they minister. And they've also been looking into ways as a group to serve the community. And so there's just some neat outreaches there on the Navajo Reservation. So this is kind of the AIF in a nutshell. But I am at Southwest Indian Ministry Center, and that's where I live. And I work in the Phoenix Metro, the metropolitan area. And I would say almost every single one of our missionaries on the American Indian field are involved in different churches, whether they're native churches there in the city or native churches on the reservation. And so we all are kind of partnering with native pastors out there in different churches around the area. And that would be the case for me as well. But back to just the whole idea of sharing our lives. And I just kind of, that's what I want to spend the rest of my moments here talking about. God is really, it's amazing what he does. I'm still amazed by God. I don't know why I should be, because he's amazing. But he still amazes me. And amazingly enough, I get a little transparent here, so I apologize for that. But about 5 years ago, I'll just be honest, I'm 51, and I have three cats. That's my life. Since 2007 and 8, my director kind of gave me, opened up my door for me to be able to look into possibly looking into college ministry, college-age ministry. And I was very excited about that, but it wasn't easy to get my foot in the door. I spent a lot of hours being on there's a branch campus of Arizona State University nearby. And I spent a lot of time just hanging out in one of my favorite places, but they had a Starbucks in the library. And, I mean, both of those together just makes the perfect world for me. And and I spent a lot of time because the Starbucks was right at the entryway of the library. And I thought, well, if I see anybody, this is where I'm going to see them. Because I started out over in their, cafe area outdoor, but nobody was there. Everybody was over at the library. And it's more a commuting campus than it is a dorm. They have dorms there, but it's more commutes. And so I realized that the library was where it's at, and I think that's where it is at. And then there was the icing on the cake was the Starbucks. But I got involved with a native group on campus and went to some of their functions, but it wasn't happening, it wasn't clicking. And I began to, I prayed to God, and He began to remind me of a small school that we used to go take our basketball teams and stuff. We'd play at tournaments in their gyms, and it was called American Indian College. And it was a little Assemblies of God school, Bible college. I know that they've had a teacher education and business and Christian ministries areas that they focus on. And I thought, well, I'm going to just kind of reach out and see if they might need some help. I was just going to volunteer. And so about in 2009, 2010, or along there, I just kind of emailed and I said, do you have any opportunities for me to tutor or anything like that? And so I started spending time tutoring and started to get to know the students there. And so that was, I started to taste a little bit of something really special. And the lady that I was working with, she was an adjunct faculty member, and she at times would have to miss class. And so I started filling in for her. And then she wanted to step away from teaching, and she recommended that I pick up her classes. So I was teaching classes I had no had no experience in teaching English, and like freshman composition and remedial reading and writing for those that weren't quite at the level they needed to be at. And so God began to help me be more involved with these students' lives on this campus. And it was interesting, at that point in time, I started to ask myself, God, is the best behind me? Am I on the downward decline to retirement? You know, I felt that way. You know, I guess that's kind of when you turn 50, that's where your mind goes sometimes. And I tried to think I was, you know, powering through the 50 mark. And I think these little doubts were creeping up inside of me. And I was thinking, I think I'm past my prime. And God has completely changed that in the past few years. I'm blown away by what he's done. And it's been hard work, but he's amazing how he's done this in my life. And so in the past 5 years, he has opened up the door for me to continue teaching at this school. The school now has been taken over by a university. And because of that, I've had to take more classes to be able to keep teaching. As I said, my master's was in counseling. My bachelor's at Asbury was in history, secondary education. And so for me to keep teaching history, which I got to start doing, which I love, and government, I had to take more classes to be able to continue to teach at that level. So for the past 2 years, I've been taking online graduate courses through Liberty University. And I have one class left, and I'll be done in October with this master's. I'm so excited because God has really been teaching me and stretching me and showing me the best isn't over, that I'm still in my prime and I'll continue to be there for quite some time. And that's all because of him. And I just really, it's been a thrill to be able to get back into teaching. And not only that, he's given me opportunities to continue teaching his word. I mean, yes, it's a Christian university, and I can teach about, you know, I can interweave all things into history, you know, things about the Lord and so forth. And even in government, that's always a fun thing to, and I do love teaching government, but he's also given me opportunities to teach Bible through the church when the pastor needs a break, and also as a children's leader with Bible study fellowship. And I have learned that I probably like teaching Bible as much as history, probably more so. But this semester I had to teach a new class, and I just wanted to share briefly about that. And he had me teach, the school wanted me to teach, because I am now the history department, because I'm the only history teacher. And I taught the history of the American Indian this semester to Native students. I have no Indian blood in me. And I'm teaching them their heritage. And the professor before me was full-blooded Lakota. And because he was psychology and counseling, and I was the history department, I had to teach this class. And I felt so, I had big, I'm not going to say it, big shoes to fill. I'm not going to say something else. Big shoes to fill. And I told him that. I said, Blair, this isn't right. You should still be teaching. I mean, regardless if you don't have history, you have the qualifications better than I do to teach this class. And so he was very encouraging to me. You know, he encouraged me and says, you know, if I can't do it, you're probably the next best thing. And he said that because he knew my experience in the ministry through the years. They knew that I'm a part of World Gospel Mission. And at the end of the semester, I mean, I get into great conversations, and that's what I love as a teacher, is to interact. It's not just about me standing up, but interaction. And one of my students, he's Apache, at the last day of class, he said, "This class made me proud to be Indian." And I was like, okay, that's all I needed to hear. You know, I really wanted them to get an essence of who they were, the things that they have lost in, because they have lost a lot of their heritage. And so it was important to me for them to be able to recognize that. And so God helped me. That was all God, all semester. And so I'm just so grateful for him and the way he has. When he gives me opportunities, that I step into those opportunities, and he helps me share my life with other people. And I'm so grateful for that today. I want to close. I want to share a song with you, just a song that means a lot to me. And I know everything we do is because of Him. And I have to remember that. I have to remember all that we do for Him is for Him. And we can't do it without Him. And I've heard more and more people say to me throughout my life, they'll say things about, you know, what I've done and who I am. And I remember a girl years ago, a real troubled teenager, that when I was doing an internship in a girl's home, and she'd been telling me about stuff that she had to endure, abuses, and she said to me once, she goes, "You're just so good." And I said, "You know what? It's not me. I'm still just as human as everybody else, and I still have attitudes and things that I struggle with. But any good in me is Him. And as I draw closer to Him, and I think it's so important, and I just want to encourage you guys at this. I love the Gospel of John. And I love John 13 through 17. Yeah. I believe those are the chapters, yeah. And those are the chapters where, don't you just feel when you read John 13 through 17, you are just sitting at Christ's feet. And you're learning from Him. And one thing He tells us in John 15 is how it's crucial to cling to Him and abide in Him. And that is something He has been working on me for years, the importance of abiding in Him, remaining in Him, clinging to Him. And it's not just staying close, it's being connected to Him. And He says, "Without me, you can do nothing." And so that's just what's become kind of my life, is that I can't do anything without Him. And when I think I can, and there are times I think I can, I usually fall flat on my face because it's done in my strength. And so everything I do and that God has shown me through the past 20 years is I have to walk in His strength and walk in His power, and He continues to guide me and show me the way. And so I just wanted to encourage you with that this morning. What grace is mine that He who dwells in endless light called through the night to find my distant soul, and from His scars poured mercy that would plead for me, that I might live and in His name be known. So I will go wherever He is calling me. I lose my life to find my life in Him. I give my all to gain the hope that never dies. I bow my heart, take up my cross, and follow Him. What grace is mine to know His breath alive in me? Beneath His wings, my wakened soul may soar. All fear can flee, for death's dark night is overcome. My Savior lives and reigns forevermore. So I will go wherever He is calling me. I lose my life to find my life in Him. I give my all to gain the I bow my heart, take up my cross, and follow him. I bow my heart, take up my cross, and follow him. Dear Lord, I just thank you for this morning. I thank you for the mercy that you rain down on us, the grace, Lord, and the strength that you breathe into our lives through your Spirit that allows us to lay our lives down so that we can follow you. Lord, taking up a cross is a hard thing to do, as we have seen you do, as we watch you do, as we remember that you did, and Lord, that you won't make us carry that alone, because you carried it before us. And so, Lord, I just thank you and praise you this morning that you are the one that enables us to walk in the path that you've given us, and that you give us your strength and your power to share your mercy and grace to those around us that long to hear of a message of acceptance and love. Lord, we thank you for being a light in the darkness, and that we can be that light. Lord, I pray this in your name. Amen.